Welcome here to the first episode of this new school year's ASN Inside the Playbook. Today, Aiden Wilson and I, my name is Michael Hooker, we are going to be your host for the very first segment. We have a very good show lined up for you guys today.
Mm-hmm. Going to be talking about Olympic sports. I think we're going to be talking about
NASCAR. And I think we did a breakdown of like actual like Olympic basketball as well.
Yeah.
In this episode. Yeah. So stay tuned for that. So yeah, I guess let's just get right into the episode.
Yeah.
All right. We'll check back with check back in with you guys at the end of the episode. So stay tuned for that. You're listening to ASN Inside the Playbook.
91.7 WEEM. We welcome you to this segment of Inside the Playbook. I'm Lucas Williams, and I'm joined by
Kellen Bowers.
So this segment, we'll be going over the just overall the Olympics. So gold medals from the U.S., the memorable moments, and kind of just everything in between. So before we get officially started, the USA had 40 gold medals, 44 silver, and 42 bronze. So a total of 126 medals in the Olympics. So they did tie with China for gold medals, but China did overall had fewer medals. So one of the first things that comes to mind when I think of the Olympics was, of course, basketball. Now, Michael, Liam, and Aiden, they're all going to have a section, like a whole segment over this topic, but I guess we'll just go over the highlights, specifically the last game. So I want to give a little brief mention of how this team came together. So we'll talk about Noah Lyles, but anyways, a track star. I don't know the, you know, full extent to the story, but it has to do with something with, you know, NBA champions saying that they're, you know, like world champions.
Yeah, he was like, what? World champions of the world? Of what?
Yeah, so I guess, yeah, kind of got a little bit mad and then formed this great squad. Super squad. Like, just all the great players. But anyways, got all the way to the finals. And Curry, he had a great game. Can you give me those stats of that game?
So he had 24 points and like 8 out of the 13 were from beyond the arc, which I'm just saying, that's pretty impressive, but like he's Curry, so.
Yeah, it is Curry. Like it's the one player who can do it, and he had a crazy shot at the ending. I mean, hit over two defenders. It just like watching that game, look over my dad who thinks, you know, like Magic Johnson's the best point guard, and seeing Curry do that.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Like, watching that and then just Curry shooting right over both of them, it's, like, actually insane to see.
I mean, those France fans, I saw a TikTok, and it was someone, like, only talking in French, but you could just tell he was so mad about what Curry was doing. But anyways, let's talk a little bit about LeBron. I mean, he's 39 years old, and he's still going out there. And he's still putting up numbers. Like, he's still, like, he's still, like, the leader of it.
Oh, yeah, definitely. That man, yeah, definitely being for 39, he's still definitely doing pretty good, seeing his age.
I mean, but it's LeBron. And that's just GOAT things. But, I mean, that is also the USA's fifth consecutive gold medal in USA, or in basketball, which we just dominated.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, our team, obviously, we have good players. And, you know, Noah Lyles saying, you know, world champions of what? Obviously, we just proved that, saying we won. But, like, hey.
So, also talking about Noah Lyles. So, we did talk about how, you know, he created this great NBA squad or Olympic squad. So, he could talk the talk, though. He did win gold in the 100-meter race. But he did get bronze in 200, kind of getting a little bit hated for that. But he did have COVID during that race. Yeah. So, I mean, when you have COVID or something, when you're sick during a race, especially an Olympic race, that's going to do something.
Yeah, I mean, like, if he was at his definitely, like, not sick, he maybe could have. I think he would have won that 200 race, personally, if he, like, wasn't sick. But obviously having COVID, yeah, it definitely would have done something, and it did.
I don't know about maybe winning it because the 100-meter is, like, his race.
Yeah.
So, and he barely won that 100 meter race. I don't know if you saw it, but it was so unbelievably close. So he ran a 9.79 second 100 meter, and I watched the Usain's record, and I'm pretty sure 2008 in the Beijing Olympics, he ran a 9.58, and you could just like immediately tell he was faster than everyone. Like, just from the start, he's so much taller and just that stride, and you're like, this is a superhuman. No one's going to touch that record.
Oh yeah, 100%.
I mean, that's probably going to stand for another 40 years or something, with no sort of competition. But getting into the next Olympian I want to talk about, Katie Ledecky. I mean, the female Michael Phelps. So in the 1500-meter freestyle, she beat her opponents by 10 seconds. That's unbelievable. Like, yeah. When you're seeing the film and you just have, when you see only one person and nobody else, yeah, I mean, that's just a sign of domination.
I mean, yeah, definitely seeing like her and then there's just no one else on screen. That is like insane to see.
Yeah, I don't, there's something about USA basketball and swimming. No one can compete with us. Maybe in basketball one day. South Sudan, they kind of prove themselves, but, and Wembanyama might actually be the GOAT, but whatever, we'll talk about that another day. But also, something else for Katie Ledecky is she is the most decorated female in history. She's broke 14 world records and 37 national titles. Is this a human anymore? Like, this is just swimming, USA swimming. They're something different. So, I mean, she's also never lost an 800-meter or a 1500-meter race in world championships, nor the Olympics. And won a Presidential Medal of Freedom. So I don't really know what you have to do for that. But, you know, hey, it's cool to win. One of the greatest, actually the greatest female swimmer of all time. That's another person who's not going to be able to be touched.
Yeah, I mean, you definitely don't see that many people with records like that often.
The only other person is Michael Phelps, and that's another swimmer. But yeah. The last person I kind of want to touch on, of course, need to talk a little bit about Simone Biles. I mean, gymnastics. Can you tell me a little bit about her?
Well, I mean, she won 3 gold medals, you know, and 1 silver. And definitely, I would say she's definitely considered, like, the greatest gymnastics person of, like, all time. You know, with, like, 11 gold medals total, I believe, and, like, 30 championships about.
Yeah, so also on the floor, so she barely lost, almost won another gold medal. So she scored a 14.133, and Rebecca Andrade scored a 14.166. Those, like, just barely got a silver. Just so close to getting another gold. Going to the Olympics and getting 4 gold medals, no other medals, that's a perfect run.
Yeah, it definitely would have been cool to see, but sadly, you know, she didn't. She only got 3, still pretty good, but would have loved to see the 4.
Absolutely. I mean, also, you wrote this down. You said that critiques were kind of hating that Simone's husband kind of put on her gold medal. Can you tell me a little bit more about it, since I didn't really know that much about it?
Yeah. From what I've heard is there was an Instagram post, I believe it was, and it's a picture of them kissing, and it's like him holding up the medal on it, like around his neck, and people are like complaining, and it's like, did you do this and this? It's like, no, you didn't. And they're just like all complaining about. And she made a response to it, I believe, but I didn't see that. I just know of, like, people were complaining around about him putting on it, like, the gold medal, and, like, he didn't do this and that, but.
Whatever. Like, you know, yeah. It's her husband, so whatever. Also, last thing I actually want to mention is about the breakdancing. I completely forgot about this until you mentioned it, so How about you tell me a little bit about what happened during this Olympics?
People are not happy with that. Definitely with the Australian one, Rachel Gunn, a.k.a., you know, Ray Gunn, saying, I mean, her performance, it's like definitely they were like, was she actually, like, supposed to be here? Like, why is she here? I mean, it's like, I'm pretty sure people were hating on it so much. It's the reason it got, like, canceled for next time. Like, it's not coming back.
Yeah, I heard that, sadly, in the 2028 Olympics, breakdancing won't be a sport. When I originally saw it, I was like, I wonder how that's going to go over. Because it just, the Olympics seems so weird. Because you go from, like, track and, like, really athletic stuff, and then you have, like, shooting.
Yeah.
It's a wide variety, but, I mean, they're pretty fun to watch.
Yeah.
So do you have any closing, I guess a closing ceremony to this Olympic overview?
Ah, man. I mean, well, maybe the only thing I'd say is what you referenced about, like, the shooting, the air pistol one. There was one dude, I don't know, it's the one dude from Turkey. That man came with, like, nothing.
Oh, yeah.
Compared to, like, yeah, like, the Korean or just, like, anyone else there. That man had nothing, but I think, I don't know if he did, but I think he just had, like, earplugs in, and that's all he had.
He might not have even had
I don't even know if he did or didn't. I just know, like, he had nothing else.
Yeah, like, he had just a pair of glasses on. Just went in there and won silver.
Yeah, like, I mean, that's, like, with nothing and you got silver off that, that's still pretty impressive to see compared to, like, other people with all their instruments.
Yeah, I don't know how he did it. But overall, this is all the time we had today. So not a bad Olympics for the United States. Overall, did tie with China, which kind of did make some people a little bit mad. But overall, we had like 40 more medals or something. So again, I'm Lucas Williams, joined by...
And I'm Kellen Bowers.
So coming up next, we have Michael, Liam, and Aiden talking all about, of course, the men's basketball team. So you are listening to Inside the Playbook on 91.7 WEEM.
Welcome back here to this segment of ASN Inside the Playbook on 91.7 WEEM. For this segment, myself, Michael Hooker, Aiden Wilson, and Liam Davis have a great segment for you guys. It's Olympic basketball, the whole overview, not just like the Team USA. Should we just get right into it?
Go ahead.
All right, so first off, we're going to just do like a breakdown of who led each category, like points, rebounds, assists, and best efficiency per game. Points per game, NBA player Giannis Antetokounmpo for the Greece team basically performed the best offensively out of everyone. And then rebounds, it was Nikola Jokic with 10.7. Assists, it was also Nikola Jokic with 8.7. And then efficiency was also Nikola Jokic with a 31.0 efficiency score.
Guess who locked him down?
Joel Embiid did not lock him down.
Yes,
I'm sorry, but he didn't.
I think he did.
No.
Anthony Davis couldn't do it. Bam Adebayo couldn't do it. Joel Embiid subbed in for 13 minutes, had 19 points. No, wait, was that game? Yes, I think it was.
Yeah, it was that.
He had 19
it was
points.
That game.
What, 9 rebounds and like 2 blocks?
But he only had one game, good game the entire tournament.
But he was better than Bam.
In that one game.
No, I think he was better in the whole tournament.
Not Bam was so much better.
Liam.
Jason Tatum was the best.
Tatum played 10 minutes.
Jason Tatum barely played. What are you talking about? Only one U.S., like Team USA member is actually on this list, and it's LeBron for assists.
Yep.
He came second at 8.5. But we do have a Canadian, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, 21 points per game. Wemby's on here for rebounds, tied for second with 9.7. Giannis had the second highest efficiency per game. But yeah, those are just all the NBA players. Obviously, Jokic is the best rebounder, assist getter, and highest efficient player in the Olympics.
I mean, it kind of makes sense, though, because other than, you know, who's, like, in comparison with Jokic?
In general,
yeah,
like can just rebound, pass, and score.
Yeah,
Jason Tatum.
Are you just like a Jason Tatum lover?
Die hard
Jason Tatum. Okay, mm-hmm. I'd say honestly, like I like People say he's the GOAT, and he's not. It's LeBron. I mean,
who?
LeBron.
Oh. Okay.
Like, in comparison to Jokic, like, he can do it all, except really defend now. Mm-hmm.
LeBron?
They both can't really defend. I mean, Jokic...
LeBron averaged, like, 2 steals and a block.
When? Maybe in his
20s? Olympics? No, in the Olympics this year.
Okay, that's the Olympics. He's going up against people who don't play in the NBA. In the NBA, he doesn't do that. Why? Because he's old.
Okay.
Which is... that's fair to say.
I mean,
he's old.
His averages went down, yeah, but he's still capable.
I mean, yeah, does he have the capability? Yes, but he doesn't do it that often anymore. But, like, I'm saying in terms of being able to rebound and assist at the same time while still putting up 16 points in the Olympics, it's got to be LeBron.
Yeah.
I mean.
Bronny James will take that throne.
I don't think so. That's another topic.
That is a hot take. That is a
it's
really
not. It's
kind of
cold. It's kind of cold.
That's a hot. I'm sorry. Bronny is no.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
He's not gonna take that throne.
Yeah, no. Anyways, speaking of like players who can do it all, to go to LeBron's averages, Michael, he averaged 14.2. Second on the list behind Steph Curry, the ultimate Avenger. That's his new nickname.
Curry in the gold medal game. Can we just speak on that real quick? I mean,
what was it? It was a cross behind the back, step back,
fader away. Off his left foot too. That's classic Curry. I mean, fading off the left foot over two defenders, nothing but net. He said he just heaved it like he was tired.
He
just heaved it. And he said it somehow went in and made for a great bucket. So. Yeah.
But first on the rebounding list, this is just for Team USA. LeBron had 6.8, and then assists he had 8.5.
Yeah.
So definitely a facilitator.
Yeah, I mean, for him, he didn't really need to score more. I mean, he did in the exhibition games because we were without Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant was still coming off of an injury.
Yeah.
But in the actual like Olympics, like in the group rounds and then in the elimination, KD stepped up.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what we needed. And he was really that kind of wild card in that whole situation on whether – How are you going to stop Team USA?
Right, yeah.
You know, because you either let LeBron eat in the post, you let Embiid eat in the post, you let any of our bigs eat in the post, or you let KD or Curry go to work on the perimeter.
Yeah.
That is kind of a monster of an offense.
You have
to
give some credit to Anthony Edwards, too. He didn't play as good in the bracket games, but in the exhibition games, and I think it was the first round of the actual tournament. He played fairly well. And he's going to have a bigger spot in coming years, too.
I think in 2028, Anthony Edwards he'll start. I think Tyrese Halliburton will start, even though he didn't play much. I think they'll need a point guard that can facilitate and not put score as much.
Yeah.
That'll be him. I think Ant will be the main scorer. I think Jason Tatum, he'll get some more minutes. I know we saw a little bit of him this year, but I think he'll definitely get more in the next Olympics, because some of those guys is just experience. Like, they just need the experience of being there.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, I think other than obviously, like, the Dream Team, I think this team's one of the top teams that we've had, like, ever in Olympic basketball.
This team beats the Dream Team.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but this team beats
it. I can agree with that.
Because I think for this team, competition was way harder than what the Dream Team had. Because the Dream Team people are like, oh, they're blowing people out by 40 points a game. It's like, well.
They played like 6 NBA players in the whole tournament.
This
team played like, I think it was 30-something.
Yeah, I think there were 6 NBA players alone on Canada.
Mm-hmm.
There was like 6 on France, a couple on Serbia, a lot on Australia.
Oh,
like,
we've got to thank Bojan Bogdanovic for our gold medal, too. Because he sparked that.
And thank you, Noah Lyles, for saying world champions of what?
Yeah. He's kind of a hater.
That kind of, like, sparked this whole team, really. We're like, okay, we're going to take the Olympics serious this year.
Yeah.
We're going to win. And we did. So, plus, I mean, the U.S. overall, this Olympics was just really, really good.
You know what we should do? We should rank top 5 players on this team.
On the Olympic team?
On the USA team.
On the USA
team. Well, I know there was a, what was it? It was like kind of like the NBA all-first team for the World Cup or whatever, yeah, for the Olympics in general.
Yeah, yeah.
It was, who was it? Dennis Schroeder, Jokic, Giannis, KD, and Curry. Or was it LeBron?
Curry didn't, no, Curry and LeBron didn't play in the World Cup.
That's not what I meant. Like the whole Olympics.
Oh, this year?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, Curry and LeBron, because LeBron won Olympic MVP.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, how could you not? The guy averaged 14, yeah, 8, and 6. Like, it's good numbers, but.
Michael, do you want to go ahead and rank your top five?
On Team USA, I'm going to go, I mean, in the early games, Curry struggled, but, like, in those last three games, he turned it up. So, I'm going to put him at 4. Just because, like, he struggled early, so because he was trying to find, like, his role. Number one, I hate saying it, but it's LeBron. Yep. I mean, he kind of, like, was the motor to
the whole team.
That, yeah.
Yeah.
KD, 2. I'm going to go Devin Booker, 3.
Really?
Because
I don't know about that. Because he struggled
Anthony
with
Edwards
turnovers,
Edwards is so
too.
Much better than Devin Booker.
Then why didn't Anthony Edwards start over him?
Because Steve Kerr doesn't like Anthony Edwards.
But Devin Booker, think about it. Devin Booker flew under everyone's radar in, like, whether he was a good scorer, can defend well for this Olympic team, and he comes out and in multiple games was our second or third leading scorer. Mm. And I think one game he actually led the team in scoring.
I think that was a
because he filled because he filled his role perfectly. They didn't need him to go out there and run the offense through him. And that's exactly what he does in Phoenix. And now that he had KD to play alongside him in the Olympics, and he had LeBron, he had Curry, it kind of took the pressure away from him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why Curry struggled, because Curry couldn't find his role, and he did. But that took away from Devin Booker. But I'm going to go Devin Booker at 3, because he kind of like helped spark the offense when we needed it.
Yep.
And then
number 5.
Anthony Edwards at 5, just because, like, in the bracket games, he didn't really show out as much as what he should have.
Okay.
But exhibition games in that first round game, he was amazing.
Mm. Liam, do you want to go next?
Number 1's LeBron, obviously, MVP and stuff. Number 2, I'll go with Joel Embiid. He helped.
Yeah.
He best center in the Olympics behind Jokic.
That's fair.
Wimby?
No.
Wimby was set. I'm sorry, Wimby.
Embiid played actually, way better than Wimby.
I'll give Wimby 2.
I'm saying Jokic 1, Wimby 2, and Jokic 3 for centers.
Jokic twice?
Jokic. God.
Yeah, Embiid 3rd.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm taking Embiid over Wimby. And then number 3, Kevin Durant. Not much to say. He's just better than the league. Number 4, Anthony Edwards. He played good throughout the whole time that he was playing. And number 5 is Curry.
Curry. And
he didn't play good in the exhibition games.
That's
and
what
then
I'm saying.
The
playoff
games, he actually played good.
Well, cuz they showed a graphic during the gold medal game, like his first 4 games he had like 24 points.
Yeah.
And then in those last two, three games he had 60.
Yeah.
That's crazy. I think I'm put Curry at 1.
I can't. I'm sorry. LeBron.
It's either
Actually,
I'll put LeBron 1. Curry,
won,
Curry 2.
Yeah. The guy won MVP in the Olympics. Like, how do you not put him at number 1 on the team?
I think Curry's 2. I think we can go KD 3. Embiid at 4, just cuz let's be honest, if he didn't play in that Serbia game, we would have lost.
I can agree with that.
Okay.
I mean, the guy came off the bench, played 13 minutes, and scored 19 points.
Right. 5th? This is sneaky, but I think Derek White played a really good role.
When did he play?
Derek White?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I do not remember him.
Derek White played more than Jason Tatum and Tyrese Haliburton.
He played probably the same minutes as Drew Holiday.
Okay, low-key, Drew Holiday
mm-hmm.
was actually a very good addition to this team.
I agree. But I think Derek White played it better.
But they didn't need Drew Holiday to like go out there and score. They just wanted him to out there on the perimeter to just
defend.
That's what they had Derek White for.
Yeah.
If Drew Holiday wasn't in the game, then it was mainly Derek White.
Derek White's hustle plays, he was diving on the floor.
Yeah, but
he was getting physical, I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's nothing else to say to it.
I don't know. I'd put Drew over Derek White just because, like, Drew started every game. He went out there. He was a hard-nosed defender. Like, we know he is.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody was being skeptical on whether he would actually fit with this roster or not. And he fit perfectly.
People said the same thing about Derek White, though, because he replaced Kawhi.
Can we talk about how Kawhi, like,
yeah,
about that whole thing?
I think, I don't know.
Honestly, I would have loved to see Kawhi on this team more than I would have loved to see Derek White. Because I think Kawhi would have fit a pretty good role and just, they don't need you to score, dude. Just go out there, be a menace on defense with Drew Holiday. That would have been a crazy tandem on the perimeter with defense, and then having Bede and AD behind him.
LeBron maybe somewhere in there.
And LeBron.
LeBron can play the one.
Mm-hmm.
Drew can play the two.
Mm-hmm.
Kawhi can play three. AD, Embiid, four, five. That's crazy.
Curry's defense actually stepped up.
Yeah, it did.
In this Olympics too. I feel like he knew like, I'm actually gonna have to defend in the Olympics. Mm-hmm. Like, this is actually gonna have to happen. So. Yeah,
it's because he's playing for something bigger than himself too, though.
Yeah.
So I think that came to a realization.
Yeah. Well, that is all the time we have here for this segment. It was actually a pretty good segment.
Yep.
It covered what we needed to cover. Obviously, Team USA on top. We win gold every year. I'm kidding. Not every year. Don't quote me on that. You're listening to ASN Inside the Playbook on 91.7 WEEM.
Jason Tatum over LeBron.
91.7 WEEM. We welcome you here to the first Inside the Playbook of the year. I am Zion Palmieri, and I am joined alongside
Jonathan Lambert.
Now, Jonathan, you got to be excited. This is your first Inside the Playbook. How are you feeling?
I mean, kind of nervous. Not really used to these kind of things. Just, trying to get used to it.
When you win your, Nobel Prize in life, are you going to talk about this? I think you should.
It's the beginning, so.
There you go. It's the beginning. So today, our topic is NASCAR. Kind of excited for it. I don't really know too much about NASCAR, but, always excited to look into something and something like this.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not too well knowledgeable around NASCAR, but I am really, enjoying racing. I'm planning on going into a racing career later. Probably soon I'm going to start racing at Anderson, but...
How do you get into something like that and, I want to have a career in this? All right, what's the first step?
Well, you just got to find people because it's really difficult to start something all by yourself with no knowledge. So,
mm-hmm.
My brother's also getting into it. He supposedly has his first race next Saturday, but I think it's going to be easier for me if I already have somebody to help me out with that.
Yeah, it's nice to have someone do it with it. But let's jump straight into this. So the first thing. So a dominant driver that is happening currently in the NASCAR Cup Series, Kyle Larson, been a standout driver. How do you think he's performed so far?
Doing great. I think it was, four races in a row? Or no, top 10. Four top 10?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, that's pretty well performing. Somebody that I've really, kind of... bandwagoned on was Joey Logano, but I haven't really been seeing much from him this year.
Other than that, some other dominant drivers, William Byron. He brought the number 24 Chevrolet back into prominence in 2024. You mentioned he's a top contender. How do you think he's going to perform?
If the car is going to perform how they want it, it's just a matter of if the track's fine, the tires don't have any issues, but the drivers usually don't have any problems, but I think he's going to do well.
So moving on from that, so currently looks like we're in the NASCAR Cup Series. You mentioned pretty well solidified the playoffs, the spots. Do you have any particular picks? You're like, oh, I think this guy's going to win it. I don't think this guy will perform at all. What are your thoughts?
So Kyle Larson's a pretty known name. I've heard him quite a bit. He's currently number one and has about four wins, nine top fives, and you're doing pretty well first. And I don't think he's going to have any issues with the playoffs. He's going to do really well. Somebody, you know, trying to push their way in, Bubba Wallace, trying his best. Got five top tens or top fives. Yeah, they're just trying to do their best and don't have anybody in particular that I think's going to win. Or
mm-hmm. No prediction specifically. I mean, looking at someone like Kyle, he's a veteran. He's been around it a while. That's got to help you going into this. If you're a younger guy, I've heard the name Bubba Wallace before. You know, these people have been around the sport for a while. Obviously, you got to be around it to get this far. Mm-hmm. It's got to help you going into the playoffs, going into, you know, being more competitive as a racer and as a driver. Other than that, looks like we're about four races out from the playoff field being exactly set, but it looks like it's pretty set. So that's kind of exciting as we move on in this season.
So this past weekend, Austin Dillon, in the number three car for Bass Pro Shop, had a controversial number one placement, which got him knocked out of the playoffs. He first pit maneuvered number 22, Joey Logano, and tapped Denny Hamlin in the number 11 car to secure the number one spot. Joey Logano was not very happy, especially when he reached the pits. He also did some controversial things, just acting reckless in the pits while people are out there. Could have hurt somebody, but I mean, after a loss like that, it's really angering, I guarantee.
Yeah, I'm kind of reading this, and it says Logano said that, you know, lines were crossed, and they all knew that, and they were all penalized.
Yeah, another thing, I believe it was Austin Dillon's chief, crew chief, and spotter telling him to hit either Logano or Hamlin, but
it's just not right, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm not well versed in the sport, but like, you know, you got to play fair. You know, that's part of it. That's with everything.
Yeah, I mean, people are always tapping and nudging in the sport, but I mean, when you're just doing things like that, it's ridiculous.
I feel like there's a lot you don't hear about. You know, with the, you know, you're gonna tap, you're gonna like nudge people, but the full on that's a step. You cross the line.
Yeah. I mean, that's putting people's lives in danger.
Definitely. Yes, totally. And I'm sure everyone at NASCAR thought that was bad. And I mean, they were both penalized. So obviously. So, I mean, obviously you've seen the sport. I have too. Duh. How do you, of course you want to do this for something like career wise. How do you take and watch what you see and like, hey, how do I put this into real life and take like tips or like, oh, that was smart.
So you just got to look at where you are on the track, because just a slight movement, you know, can have a big impact on the race. Lap time is a very important thing. It's really easy to get info when you learn about other people's cars, you know, look at how they're designed. You know, an important thing is tires. Make sure you're always using great tires, because if, you know, you lose traction, I mean, that could cause a huge wreck or a big issue for your car, and that can put you out of the race.
So obviously this 2024 season, it's been an exciting season. Let's talk about the photo finish at the Kansas Speedway. Of course, Kyle Larson, he barely beat out Chris Buescher. I apologize, Mr. Chris. Do you know how to pronounce that?
I have
no clue. It's a long last name. He beat him out by 0.001 seconds. Closest finish in NASCAR history.
Second.
I mean, that's impressive.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, with like lap times, I mean, that's going to determine a race. Just that little...
the tiniest movement.
Yeah, thousandth of a second.
That is great. Like,
you can't fathom that. Like, you can't think of a thousandth of a second.
Like, you probably wouldn't even see it. Like, it be like a tie, realistically.
You like, to catch that with your eye, like, bare eye, that's so difficult. So, recently, NASCAR introduced They introduced a historic street race in Chicago in 2024, the first time, and it's on a temporary street circuit. What do you know about this? It was well-received by a lot of fans and drivers, so I hear. Are you excited to see more of this? Do you think they're going to pursue it? You know, big cities like maybe New York or like Los Angeles, New Orleans. What do you think about it?
I mean, I think it's good. It's a different way to portray NASCAR. I think a lot of people will like it. It looks like everybody or most people are enjoying it. Different sight to see. I think it's going to do well in the future. Make sure everybody's Well, I think it'd be more fun for people to have multiple ways to race their car instead of just an oval. Or at least I don't think they do normal tracks in the Cup Series, but
it's a new element. It's new for the drivers, I'm sure. It's going to help bring a lot of tourism to these towns, and I'm sure, you know, everyone's happy about that. Oh, you know, they're coming to the, you know, biggest. Oh, what if they go to Indy? You know, they come to the closest big city.
Yeah, I mean, Indiana's really really well known for racing, too. I'd feel like if they had one of these races in Indiana, it would probably be really good. Probably going to need quite a bit of seating because Indiana's a great or a big place to racing is really well known in Indiana.
I've seen signs like airport or just Indy, and it's like, that's it. Like racing was built on Indiana, or so, you know, some cliche thing like that.
Yeah, it's really historic in Indy. It's been a really big topic for like 100 years almost.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
well, there's definitely a lot of exciting things in NASCAR as the Cup Series, like I said, four races away from a playoff spot or from like finalizing the playoffs. So that's all we got for you here. Mm-hmm. I'm Zion Palmieri here with
Jonathan Lambert.
And thanks for tuning in for our segment. Looks like it should be the closing segment, and that will be the end here today. So thank you for joining us, 91.7 WEEM.
Welcome back here to the final segment of ASN Inside the Playbook. Once again, me and Aiden are back here again.
Yep.
So our closing segment, closing out the episode basically. Pretty good episode.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie.
Mm-hmm. A good opener for sure.
Mm-hmm. We had a really, really good episode for our very first one of the new school year.
Yeah.
We hope you guys all enjoyed as well.
And some of the new graphics that we threw in here too.
They'll see
a little peek of that. Expect it to get better throughout the year though. Definitely mm-hmm. going to try to work mm-hmm. on that.
But, you know, you got to see a good showing for the graphics and all that. So we put a lot of hard work into this episode, so we hope you all enjoyed. But that was ASN Inside the Playbook. I'm Michael Hooker.
Here with Aiden Wilson.
And this was ASN Inside the Playbook.